Good morning to all my parents listening to this at the crack of dawn because their baby's up. Good evening to all my guys out there listening in the middle of the night trying to get your baby back to sleep. This is the premiere episode of The Podfathers. This episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. Now here's the deal. At some point after you have your first kid, many, many months down the road, maybe, perhaps, your wife will let you out of the house to have some fun. And on that day that you do, you better hit up SeatGeek and get yourself some tickets to your favorite concert or your favorite sporting event. SeatGeek is the easiest, smartest way to get tickets on the secondary market. What it is a free app that combines all tickets being sold to, like I said, any concert and any sporting event. And they put it all in an easy-to-read chart so you know exactly what you're going to get. So enjoy yourself for that one night out, maybe a year, maybe once a year if you're lucky. And right now, if you use my promo code, the Podfathers, you will get a $20 rebate after you make your first ticket purchase. They will send it to you in the mail, or it will go right to your PayPal, in which case it directly goes to your baby because you will be buying food and diapers constantly. Every penny counts once you have yourself a kid. So once again, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code PODFATHERS, and get $20 back after your first purchase. Let's go, daddy-o!
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Welcome to the very first edition of The Podfathers. It's a production by Barstool Sports featuring the three bloggers and podcasters on the network that are dads, that are fathers. So we come to you as the Podfathers to give you someone to relate to, maybe give you some advice, and just talk through this entire process, this entire wild ride that is having children and being a father. I'm Kevin Clancy. I go by the name KFC. We got Uncle Chaps, the number one podcaster in his own right on Zero Blog 30, and my man DeClembe Mutombo over here, Clem. All three of us, dads of very different types, all daughters, but all different ages, all different situations and scenarios. So we're going to come to you from a few different angles with a few different takes and hopefully kind of piece it all together into a podcast that if you are already a father or even a mother and you need someone to listen to and vent with and relate to, we got you covered. If you're expecting and you are terrified, which I'm sure you probably are.
Rightfully
and you
may be, so.
Yes, and you will be. You absolutely will be, and you should be. We got you covered on that front as well, because we're hopefully going to tell you the things that we did right, tell you all of the things we did wrong, which is going to be a lot, and let you know what you should hopefully be trying to do. But none of us are experts. Nobody here is going to come from a high horse perspective on what you should. You know, there's a lot of different ways to parent and all that. We're just here to tell stories. We're just here to explain what it's like, what we went through as first-time, second-time dads for some of us. So we'll start. I guess everybody kind of introduced themselves to a lot of the Barstool readers and listeners are already going to know us, but this is going to be a whole new audience of moms and dads outside this network. So, Chaps, we'll begin with you. You are a two-time father. It's like an MVP. Like you're two-time MVP, reigning champ.
Two-time certified sex haver.
Yeah, we know you've had sex at least twice. Me and Clem are still trying to get that second one done. I guess, yeah, explain your situation, where you're coming from so people understand.
So I've been a dad for 11 years, a little over 11 years now, and it's so different being a dad when my daughter, who's four, was born, as opposed to my daughter, when my older daughter, I was 22 at the time.
I can imagine that. Like your situation, the world situation, technology, I mean, so much changes in that span of time.
Everything was completely different. And I felt like I was so much more prepared the second time around just because I fucked up so many things the first time around.
And that's why the firstborn's always a little something there, right? It's like, well, we didn't know what we were doing with you.
I mean,
yet.
The first time the older one got home, like the very first thing that she did, I laid her on the bed. I was like, let's do this whole bath thing. I did a little sponge bath, put her on the bed, and then a huge string of poop just like flies down the bed. And I was like, Well, here we go.
That's also going to be a very heavy running theme of this show. Every single episode, I'm sure you're going to be hearing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I talk with my wife about poop more than any other subject in the world these days. And we were not that type of couple who were, like, open with each other. We weren't doing, like, poop jokes and fart jokes. We were pretty, like, we kept it pretty romantic, and you know what I mean? And then the baby came along, and it was like, who's pooping? How much are they pooping? Is it, what color is the poop? It's all just poop. It's
and you feel like it's going to slow down, but it really picks
it up. It ramps up.
At like, three, it really picks up.
Oh,
because
man.
In every, like, 10 minutes, you're like, hey, you got to poop? You got to poop? You haven't pooped today. You haven't pooped today.
Don't lie to me. Right. At least now it's unspoken between me and my newborn. When you're talking to him about it, it really is just all poop all the time. Clem, you are, and Chaps, how old are you again?
34.
So we got 34. So
I think
you guys,
I'm a month older than Chaps, so I'm still the old gray beard in this studio.
The elder statesman of the crew. And you got one, right?
Got one, turns 2 in November, so we're still finding our way, but, you know, I think...
You're going to be finding your way till she's 32, man. There's no way you ever get it figured out.
Yeah, it's like Chaps said it, man. Like, Chaps has been where I am, you know, so I'm looking to get to... I'll be picking his brain as much as the listeners are.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I mean, listen, I'm the rookie of the squad here. I'm the youngest, I'm 31. My baby is almost 10 months right now. So I'm still, like, in the thick of it. So I'm really – the only reason I'm doing this is just to get advice from you guys. This is not really a podcast. We're not trying to make money or anything. I just need to figure out how to be a dad. What I just said about how this is going to – you're going to be figuring it out till you're 32, I think, is one of the first points. And what we're going to do here is kind of speak about it chronologically. We're going to go through the beginning of the process from when you find out you're having a baby and then take it from there, the pregnancy, the delivery, the newborn phase, all that. But we're also going to pepper in some new things. If there's a life-changing event for us, we'll bring it up on the show. If there's something in the news that's parenting-related, we're going to kind of jump in and out. So we're going to – today's going to be the focus will be that initial period where you find out you're going to have a kid and you're going to be a dad or a mom, like I said. But I think the underlying message here, overarching message for this entire show, however many episodes is going to be, is that, like, there's no figuring it out. There's no right answer. And when you think you have something figured out, it gets flipped on its head.
You read those books, you think they're going to have all the answers for you, they're just guessing, and every single person is different, and that's
right.
The best way you can put it. And we're just going to share stories and experiences. Some people are going to be like, I've had that. Some people are like, it's the complete opposite for me.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that's why this really came about, is because, and I guess we can kind of take it off from here. When I first found out, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I gotta turn to the experts on this one. And I'm going on the internet, which is never a good idea for any of this stuff. And then I'm buying books, and I'm just trying to figure out from the writers and the experts and the doctors. And I vividly remember I bought one book, not to bash on whoever wrote this book, because they were doing their best, but it was called Dude, You're Gonna Be a Dad. And it was like written by a dude for a dude from a dude's perspective. Like, you're gonna relate to this. And I got like fucking like one word in, and I was like, this book stinks. Yeah. This is terrible. And so that's kind of where my inspiration came in, is I wanted to actually give the real deal perspective. That's what we do at Barstool, whether it's sports, life, comedy in general. What we do is we don't break it down X's and O's. We don't do it like the journalists do it or the doctors do it. It's just what we went through. So that's kind of the goal here of Podfathers, is to actually present these things that are by a dude, for a man, for a guy, whatever. This is just guys who are dads talking. So I guess we'll begin with each of our stories as far as when we found out, the moment we found out and we realized, no turning back, we're going down this road. Chaps, I'm going to begin again with you, because your story trumps ours in many ways and is very unique. And then we'll get into ours, which are probably a little more relatable. But your first moment when you found out you're going to be a dad.
So I was at Lackland Air Force Base, where I was going through canine school, and I had a dog on leash, like doing aggression training with a dog, like attack somebody. And I had just tied my dog back up to the tree, and I checked my voicemail, and she's like, my kid's mom's like, you need to call me right away. And she was in Japan at the time. And
where's Lackland? Is that Texas?
San Antonio, where I live now. And she was like, hey, I got kicked off the rifle range, because she was an active duty Marine as well. And I was like, okay, for what? She was like, well, you can't touch CLP, the cleaning lubricant product that you put inside a weapon. She's like, you can't touch it when you're pregnant.
Oh, so she did you dirty and tried to, it was almost like a joke. Like, I'm going to drop this on you. That's not nice. That's not cool.
And I'm a 22-year-old dude at the time. Man. I had been in the Marine Corps for 4 months. I was getting ready to go to Japan full time and live there for 3 years. So I was 22, brand new job, brand new country. At that point, it was brand new, like, marriage. And
yeah.
I was just wrecked. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know what to do. I was like, I am not ready for this at all. But it doesn't matter if you're ready or not.
You know, well, it's funny. Part of me thinks, like, when I was 22, Jeffs, I could barely take care of myself.
I was no different.
I know, and that's kind of my point. I mean, I was outrageously reckless. I was a disaster.
You know what I was doing at 22? I can tell you exactly. I had graduated college, and I had figured out this perfect schedule of life. It would be wake up at 11, you know, 2 hours of wiping the claw at your eyes and watching SportsCenter. I would go get Chinese food and fall asleep watching Mike and the Mad Dog. And you were having a kid at that time. And I was unemployed living
by
my parents' house.
What you just described is heaven on earth. When I die and go to heaven, it might be that. But the point is that, like, you can be 22, 32, 42, 52. And, you know, obviously varying things. Like, yeah, all right, when you're a little bit older, you know you're a little more financially stable and you have some things figured out. Yes, but that initial burst, of that feeling of like, whoa,
yeah,
I don't think it matters what age you are.
Just the comparison of having my first kid and then my second kid. So my second kid, whenever I found out about her, I was laying in bed checking Twitter first thing in the morning. And I hear...
Already a different world. Yeah, Twitter was invented.
Right. So it was like 6:30 in the morning, and I hear my wife start crying in the bathroom. And my wife's not a crier.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, God, what's wrong?
Right. Of course you think something's bad.
Yeah, so she comes out, and she's, like, sobbing. And I'm like, And I didn't even know she had suspected that she was pregnant. She was like, I'm pregnant. And I was, like, so overwhelmed that I was, like, emotionally, like, shut down. Like,
right.
I was like, oh, relieved. Like, I thought something bad. I thought it was, like, a bad cry, but it was, like, I'm so happy cry. So then we go into base to do, like, the blood work and things like that. She's like, well, I want to go make sure, go to the actual, like, woman doctor and get checked out, do, like, the pee test or blood test or whatever the hell they do. And so then they...
whatever. However they figure that one out.
I mean, science is impossible to know. I feel like you can't ever know. Like,
leave that one to the doctors.
How they do it. Do they look and sit in the blood and see, like, a little baby floating around in there? Like, you never
know. We're going to be talking a lot about the science behind this whole process. I don't understand any of it, man.
No.
How it all works blows my mind. I just don't get it, but...
So we have this, like, 9:30 appointment, and then we're out of the doctor by, like, 11. And she's like, well, let's go through and grab something, eat real quick, and then I'll go to work. So I'm like, okay. So we swing through McDonald's, and I, like, put a double cheeseburger in my mouth, and I'm, like, driving with one hand, eating the double cheeseburger in the other hand, and I start, like, weeping.
Like, at this, that's just when it hit you.
She had got it, like, yeah. And she was like, wait, what's wrong? I was like, I'm so happy. Because we hadn't even been trying for, like, a month. Like, she had been on birth control and was off, and she was like, well, this is going to take a while because mm-hmm. I had been on birth control for so long. And it was like, oh, no,
so
my friend.
It was planned but a surprise.
It was planned like...
like, we're going to start this process and then... But you were surprised by when it happened.
By how quickly it happened, yeah. Because it, like, came through like a freight train. We were like, oh, this is going to be a slow, steady climb to the top, and we'll get there in like 5 or 6 months.
Boom.
It was like, no, like 3 weeks later, you're pregnant. And you're pregnant. Like,
yo, Uncle Chaps, tatted up, McDouble in the other hand, tough guy, just weeping.
And I'm still active duty at the time. So, like, I'm an active duty dude, still short, like, crazy hair. Like, I'm in uniform at the time. Like, my arms are, like, with my uniform rolled up so it's tight. I have the cheeseburger in my mouth, and I'm, like, crying going down the road.
I can see your commanding arms. But are those tears in your eyes?
There's no crying in them, Marines! Clem, I would imagine your experience teensy bit different.
Yeah, the tattoos, the muscles, those all weren't around.
Double cheeseburger might have been.
I was, let's see, so 32, 31. I can't get these dates down because it's like 9 months in between, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Just say I was in my 30s. And we had been trying for a little bit. And I
congratulations on that.
Yep, yep. Couple sessions. And I was unemployed, so that was awesome thing. House, you know, mortgage, pseudo unemployed, working for my dad, his store, just to make ends meet. And she comes in with a lottery ticket, scratch off ticket, and I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, you just stopped on this on the way home. So she scratches. And she's like, you got to hit big because we're about to have another mouth to feed. And
boom. Yo, both of your situations with these jokes. I'm like, yo, these jokes are a little too much right now. I'm not trying to clown around in this moment, okay?
Seriously. And I'm like, I don't win. And I'm like, so I guess I got to go buy more of these because I can't afford to pay for a child right now.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, she kind of laid it on the line like, yo, this thing is going to be so expensive. We need to literally hit the lottery to be able to afford it.
With the job, we need to hit the
lottery. No, she's definitely correct, as a matter of fact. You won the lottery of life. Now you need to actually win the financial lottery to be able to afford this. So what was your – I think now – luckily, none of our wives did the "I'm gonna film you" reaction, right?
No,
that to me ain't right.
No,
that because you don't know how you're gonna react and what you're gonna look like. You might be overjoyed on the inside, but like you said, you kind of emotionally like shut down for a second because you're just so overwhelmed. So you know,
there is no more life changing moment than
there's
that.
There's none, literally.
So I mean, even getting married, like you can get out of that. You can't get out of having a kid.
No, there's no turning back, man. Yeah. And you know, you might cry, you might be overjoyed, you might say, oh shit, and that's the wrong, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of pressure on you to react in a moment that you are never going to be prepared for. So, again,
it's not like you could pull your notes out of your lapel and be like, I am so prepared for this. Thank you, honey, for going through this emotional and body-changing event that will forever shake your hips. And
yeah, you don't even know what to say yet, let alone be prepared to say it if you did.
If Chap's wife had filmed him, you probably would have blogged about guy finds out his wife's pregnant and goes back on Twitter to check his DM. You know, like, it's like, oh, what are my notifications going on?
Florida man weeps while eating a cheeseburger and driving down the road.
I'm pretty sure I actually have blogged a story before where a dude's reaction was just less than stellar, and the wife was kind of like, are you serious? And I was like, well, you kind of screwed him over here. You kind of really threw him under the bus. So, again, no judging here on the Podfathers, no preaching, but I would say, from a normal dude's perspective, I wouldn't want to be filmed. So, girls, family out there, if you're thinking about that, just give it a second thought before you do that.
We won't ask you to marry us at a sporting event if you don't film us when you say
deal.
You're pregnant.
That's a great deal.
Let's just make that a humanity rule.
Yeah, seriously. Like, when you become 18, that's just like a rule. As an adult, you can't do that kind of stuff anymore. So was there tears? Was there laughing? Or was it just a shutdown?
It was like, it's just too much to handle. Like you said, like, you're just like, oh, like, that's awesome. But you're like, you're thinking, how am I supposed to be reacting? What is she seeing when she sees me again?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the other side of this was, we had been trying for a little bit as well, a few months, I think, at that point. Again, not to brag. And I was not always going in with a loaded gun, if you know what I mean. I was trying to like, well, once I get a job, I could start, you know, going in, you know. But I was like, maybe I should just maybe not give her the full package when I'm delivering here, just as a way to kind of let's
bridge
delay
the gap
a
little
months.
Bit. Yeah.
Until I get that interview and that job that I've been looking for. So like, when she did it, I was like, wow, they got through. They could swim.
Hey. There's a little bit of a feeling of pride in that, though, right?
Yeah, kind
of
like,
my boys can swim, yeah! I was in a weird situation. First of all, just even where Barstool had progressed to at that point, I was just like, having a kid, and is she in the spotlight? Is she not? Am I going to write about her? What are people going to say about her? You know, I'm already freaking out about that. And we ended up being a high-risk pregnancy. So early on, when I first started dating my wife, she was like, I just want to let you know, like, I've talked to some doctors before. There might be some issues in that department. Kind of being like, just almost like full disclosure. Like, if you want to go down this road and you want to have kids, like, it's something you need to think about.
Which is awesome on her part.
Yeah, and I was like, whatever, I'm not gonna break up with the girl that I love.
And I'm
for
a blogger, so it's like we both. You're taking a chance on me as well. Don't think.
Valid point, but I'm not gonna like break up with the love of my life over. You know, that's. I can understand why someone would pose that situation to you, but like,
You can't bail on that. You know, I didn't want to bail on that. So, but this whole time, this was, you know, early on before we were ever even considering having kids. So the whole time for like a few years, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I'm going to have to start saving for some adoption. I'm going to have to start saving for IVF, like maybe just preparing for a life with no kids. And kind of made peace with all of it and whatnot. So we get married and, you know, wifey's like, we got to start trying because if this is high risk and this is difficult for me, we got to start the process. Yep. So it took one try. After all that, it was one and done.
The anti-mush for you.
Right
off the bat.
It's unlike anything else in my life, it came through right away, which is awesome because the alternative, I know, can be so brutal. Yeah. To anybody out there who's had to go through that process of even if it eventually happens naturally for you, but just having to go months and months, and in this case, sometimes years, like, that can be just so trying on her, on you, on the relationship, on everything. And then if you have to go down the road of adoption and IVF, it's expensive and nothing's guaranteed. So all of that obviously is worse, a much worse case scenario. But the flip side being like, wait, what? Like, we're doing this right away? And I'll say this to guys out there. The biological clock thing is the real deal, Holyfield. Like, you got to be prepared for those things because you think you have it all planned out. You think you can just continue, like, your couple-y life forever. And, like, there is some time that there's a time constraint there. So you got to be prepared for that. And I thought I was until she was like, yep. So I was sitting at my desk probably blogging. I was definitely on the computer. And she was like, we were about to go out to dinner. And she was like, I'm just going to take a test, like, just for fun. Like, just, you know, because we're doing this process. And she goes in the bathroom and I just hear, Kevin? And my eyes, I wish I had a camera on me in that moment because I probably was like,
that's like when Buzz goes in his room. She's
yes.
Like, Kevin?
It was very McAllister-esque Home Alone. And so then we went to back out to Rite Aid and proceeded to buy 60 more pregnancy tests, all of which, you know, we're putting up the same results. And what was funny was that we were planning on going out to like a nice dinner that night. It was like a steakhouse, and they had this place that has a bottle of wine we really like. And she was like, "Shit, like, I don't know if I can't have my wine now." I was like, "Oh man, we got a lot more on our plate right now, babe. Come on."
And that's a big balance to find too. Like when they are pregnant, like, because you're like, the game's on, like, you know, because my older daughter was born in June, so football season wasn't really going around, but the little one was born in October, and I'm like, football's kicking off, but I got to be ready to drive her to the hospital
right.
if need be, and...
Yeah, man, it's all about
the. There's so many balances that you feel bad, like looking at the dad, like, you want to take care of it right away, and you don't know what to do, You just don't. You never know what
can't.
To do.
Yeah, there's
so
no way to
even. So whatever they
say,
do it. Just do it.
That is another ultimate message of this here. Whatever she says, whatever she needs, whatever she wants.
Unless it was
do
like
it.
My wife, whenever she was pregnant, and she didn't want to go. She was like 9 months plus pregnant, and she was like, my stomach kind of hurts, and I'm having contractions a little bit, but I feel like I shouldn't go. And, like, I'm looking at her.
Going.
I'm like, I don't tell you this much, but get in the fucking car. And then, like, 4 hours later, like, the baby's here.
And I love how you're saying to your wife, listen, you know, we have more things to worry about. And she's like, no, I'm the one that can't drink now for the next
so
months.
Hey, man, we're going to have a whole episode on the pregnancy period where I think one of the hardest things is juggling alcohol because you grow so accustomed to it. That's a big deal to cut that out socially, and you know, in general, it's a big life change.
Pro tip: non-alcoholic beers help.
Yeah, it just gets you going through the motions, right?
Non-alcoholic beer drinker when she was pregnant.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. Yeah. Whatever you need.
I'll go buy some O'Doul's from the grocery store. No problem.
Clem, I think you were kind of in the sweet spot though, and again, there's no way I can know this for putting myself in anybody else's shoes, but. When you get that period of trying,
oh,
it's not that period.
I was like,
no, you don't want to
like,
get
Clem know
that
about this?
Period.
We're doing this episode.
No, when you get that portion of time
where you get to try for a little longer.
Yep.
That's a nice little built-in benefit because I was like, I remember being like, all right, we're going to start this process, and guess what? We're going to ramp up a little bit because, you know, it's been, you know, we're married, we moved in, you know, things are, you know, honeymoon's over, things are naturally falling into their place. Some things kind of regress a little bit, so I was like, oh, here we go. She's going to want it. And then it was like, one time. By the way, it was also St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's, baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, if there's any doubt that Shay Clancy was, like, Irish to the bone, to the core, there you have it. But, yeah, I mean, that's a nice little...
Now, it's great because, A, I mean, we could all joke about it, but it is true. Like, at least a lot of marriages, I feel, once you're together for a while, it's like it just inevitably the sex goes down in the relationship. But then when, especially, you know, my wife was... you know, wants a kid so badly. It's probably the way we were when we started dating. You know, where we're always just like,
on your mind.
Hey.
Yeah.
Poking them and they're like, get the fuck away from me, man.
Clem's like, I'm not a piece of meat. Yeah. All you want from me is sex.
Why don't you take me to dinner or something?
There's more to this relationship than that.
Chap's got a cheeseburger.
You don't even kiss me anymore. God.
It's like, oh, we're done? All right, see ya. And they're just like rolling over and falling asleep. We're just sitting there.
Back like, on like the app or the book that they're reading about ovulating. It's like, oh, I feel so used.
They hit the little pink check mark for like, you know, got
busy, yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God. God. Yeah, I mean, that was one thing we didn't really, haven't gone through yet where it was, you know, the tracking of when and what because it was, like I said, a walk-off, just one shot.
Did she just go blind, too? Like, my wife's doing, like, all right, this is when I'm ovulated. Like, are you guys just like, hey, let's just give it a shot here?
No, she, because we were kind of told, like, it might be difficult, she was doing, like, prenatal vitamins like, really ramping it up. She had gone off birth control, like, you know, however long prior because that's kind of, like, got to get out of your system. It's mm-hmm. another thing, man. Like, you're a girl who's been on birth control for like 10, 12, 15 years, whatever. Like, your body is fucking jacked up from that. Like, there's a lot going on that I think works against you in this department, which is why, unfortunately, I think it's difficult for some people.
All of which I don't understand at all. Like, I don't get it, man.
I don't understand a single shred of
like
it physiologically.
Like, I'm skipping out on on some week for birth control. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like,
yo, shout out to all the girls who like keep that scheduled. Like that, you gotta, you know, that's a responsibility that most of you guys take care of. I mean, because we're just like, well, I hope it works.
I don't even put suntan lotion on when I go to the beach because it's too much of a hassle, and I burn to a crisp every single time.
Yo, sometimes you gotta wear a sun shirt.
There it is
on on your body and on your dick.
Yep.
And by the way, four daughters in this room. We're going to be learning about all these goddamn awful things, you know, throughout our lives.
Chaps, unfortunately, it's coming for you, brother.
Let's move on to the next topic. I'm already trying to settle into the podcast before we go there.
We're gonna jump into what we like to call the product of the day.
Shut up and take my money. Shut up and take my money. Shut up and take my money.
Here at Podfathers, we're going to be giving you products of the day that we think are the most useful for each of these stages in the whole process. So, I mean, for me personally, I don't know if you guys have another product you'd like to add for this portion of finding out, but the pregnancy tests that are clear as day are the only ones that should be on the market. Because like I said, we ran out to the store, we got like 50 of them, and 46 of them are like this hazy, weird, sort of line, sort of plus sign, kind of just pink mishmash. And then like 47, 48, 49, and 50, it was like a like electronic text popped up and it was like, yo, bro, for real, she's pregnant. That's what it says on the thing. Bro, seriously, you can tell her to stop taking these tests because she actually is pregnant. And I was like, thank you. That's the one I needed. And obviously, like you said, until it's the blood test and the doctor and all that, you never know, which is another, you know, 99.9% efficient. Like, yo, and we need that to be 100%. But my product of the day would be the pregnancy tests that are clear as day that, yes, she's knocked up.
It's like when your phone says it's LTE, but you're not getting any data. You're like, yo, you're lying to me.
Yes.
You're lying to me.
Right.
So, yeah, those, there. I mean, and that's this whole, all these announcements came from, I mean, I think ours was like, she shows me, and it's like, is that a line? Is that not a line? It's
right.
Like, is it a catch in the NFL?
The one that have like one,
is
two
it a
line.
Catch? The Dez Bryant. It was a catch. It was a catch.
The one with one or two lines, you feel like when, in that high stakes of emotion, you feel like you're looking at the problem that Matt Damon signed and Good Will Hunting.
Yep.
Like everybody's trying to prove this theorem, and Matt Damon's just lighting it on fire.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like when they do the theorems on the glass, on the windows, like that's what you feel like you're looking at. Also, like those other ones, like you couldn't have come up with something a little different than like one line or this line. Like it needs to be totally different.
I think The Simpsons had one where it was three cherries like a jackpot in the slot machine. I was
there
like, that's awesome. We need
right.
But which one is the jackpot? Not pregnant or pregnant?
Yeah. That's true. That's a valid point. What are you celebrating here? What's
simple
your...
pregnant or not pregnant would be sufficient.
Right.
But yes then, no.
But even if that came up, you're like, well, did that part of the thing just like break? Like,
I know. You can't trust. I mean, again,
until you
the
get
whole
a phone call from the doctor,
all.
The doctor is like, yes, you are actually pregnant. You will be having a child.
No, the whole process is a stick and you pee on it. What? How? What? That's, no, I don't trust that. I don't trust that at all. That can't be real. It can't be right. Right.
The science is ridiculous of it all. It just blows your mind. I mean, it's like trying to figure out how they send spaceships out, right? Like,
I just I don't get it, man. How do planes fly? How do boats float? How does the pregnancy test work? I don't get any of it.
3 gallons, 5 gallons, put it in 4 gallons, die hard. This equation always, like that I can't figure out. I can't figure out how peeing on a stick tells you there's a baby growing inside of you.
And I also just, I mean, just sidebar here, just the whole process of a child coming out of another human because you had sex.
It's weird.
And it grows. I mean, it's some alien stuff. It's some sci-fi shit.
Yeah, people are like, it's beautiful. Mm-mm. It's
no.
Weird, man.
No. That is something you people say to make you feel better as you and your wife, more importantly, your wife, are going through the most awkward, uncomfortable, frankly, terrible process that a human can go through.
Yeah, the only pain that comes from the dad is like getting your hand squeezed. That's it.
Yeah,
like,
that's
part.
As bad as
the rest
it gets.
Of it's emotion. The wife has the emotion, the physical pain, the scarring, the trauma, the recovery, and you're just like, I'm kind of tired. I kept it up for
like,
a while.
Oh yeah, man, she can't drink anymore, so I can't go out. That's your biggest problem. I mean,
and you get a designated driver for 9 months too. So
that's a mistake.
We'll be talking about that. That's gonna
so
be
my
a whole...
product. My product of the day is for me was a vasectomy, so I'd never have
hey.
To experience. I'd never have to experience the first episode ever again. This is not good for me unless I have like some kind of miraculous thing.
Hey, you could be Cromarty. You never know.
I texted you guys a couple weeks ago about that there was a scare.
Yeah, and then when we got that text, we have a little group text going, the Podfathers, where we just tell stories and bounce things off of each other, and that text came through. And we're new friends. I don't know you that long. I was like, oh my God. I almost like called Clem on the side and was like, what are we going to do for Chaps? We have to like buy him something or like do something to comfort him right now because only Lord knows what's going through his head. How long did that last, by the way, that scare?
Just a day.
Okay. So it wasn't it's probably the longest day of your fucking life.
I was already like, well, I guess I don't have to make the guest room my office. I guess I can like get the
right
another because we'd sold
all the baby
stuff. After vasectomy was done, we got rid of everything. We're like, here's all these clothes because my wife had because I told her like when we have this kid, if the other one gets out of diapers, I'm done. Like vasectomy the next day.
And, was that just you came up with that own line of demarcation? Like the minute she
pees
in the toilet,
a lot of it because I want to be like a young grandparent.
Yeah,
and. Like, because of my brain injuries and stuff, we'll get dark for a second. Okay. I think I'll die early.
Oh, man.
So I don't want to be...
Womp,
yeah.
Womp.
I don't want to be, like, old dad, like, because, like, strokes and stuff run in my family.
Gotcha.
So I want to be, like, young dad, like, walking with my kids at, like, graduation. I don't want to be old dude. And I want to have time when my kids are out of the house to, like, enjoy being married and older and, like, RV in it and going to different state parks and...
Yeah, I mean, I remember being in like first or second grade, and there was this dude whose dad was like 79 years old, and I remember just being like, "This is weird."
Why is your
and
grandparent
awful.
Your dad?
Yeah.
And then you don't get to know your
grandparents, right?
Like, I want to know my. Mm-hmm. I want to be like Pappy, and like them come over, and we're like fishing on a lake.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
like,
absolutely.
I want to do that.
You're going to be an awesome grandpa.
Dude, I'm going to be the best grandpa.
No, no, no. But you know what? He's going to be a great pappy specifically. Like, pappy. Like, I could not be a pappy. You know what I mean? Chaps is a pappy. Chappy pappy over here.
I'm big time pappy. Yeah. I already tell my kids. I'm like, a lot of grandparents will say, oh, they can call me whatever. No, 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 no.
You're calling me pappy.
Yeah, I'm going to get it tattooed across my chest. Like, you don't call me anything but pappy. And I'm going to make my kids refer to me as pappy when their kids are around.
Right. No, you have to do that. Yeah. That's actually a big point of contention in my house. My mom still doesn't like have a name because when she says grandma, she thinks of her mom because that's what she said around us. Mm. So she's like trying to come up with like variations. I'm like, yo, dude, you're just grandma or Graham or something. I don't know. You can't. It's like you can't make up your own nickname. Pappy is a thing. That's already a name. She's like coming up. She was like, maybe I'll be like Kiki. I was like, what? No, that's confusing.
Hey, you're the former GM of the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I was like, what is this, like some Kardashian shit? Kiki over here? No, your grandma. So the vasectomy is a solid product of the day. I'll give you that one, man. That's got to be a liberating moment where you're just like,
don't have to
worry about it?
Kind of. You're not really sure because nothing feels different like after you're done. So there's like no real difference.
It's a pretty easy process, no?
Mm.
No, it's not.
It's not as bad as you would think it is, but it's not great.
No, it's not fun. Yeah. Definitely not enjoyable.
It just feels like somebody like takes your ball and like pinches it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very fun.
For a while. And then that's it. Then you're done.
I think Chaps
is so much more of a man than us, though. Like, I feel like anything he says, like, it wasn't a big deal.
That means we'd be weeping. It hurts. My balls hurt.
The weirdest part of the vasectomy is, like, you pull your pants down, and I had, like, this nurse that comes in, and you know, like, the spray foam soap?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, she just, like, sprays it all over you and then just flops it around like it's an earthworm. She's like, this is really, really strange.
Yeah, that is a... It's a bizarre dynamic, I would say. Flopping around like an earthworm. That's also an image that I just did not need to have of Chaps' pappy. I don't need Chappy Pappy flopping around in my brain,
so
okay?
My grandkids are listening to this after I die. They're like, ugh, that's gross.
That podcast did get dark.
Old earthworm face ass.
You got a product of the day related to this kind of stuff?
I do. It's for the ladies, though, this one. All I know is... I imagine we'll probably talk about this on future episodes as well. But when you go into that office and you're going in to like for the to check it out, and they put the warming gel and stuff. Shout out to that gel because that's
whatever that is. Yeah,
that whole scene when you see the first time you see the stirrups, you're just like, oh my god. So shout out, my wife says it makes life better. So God bless.
Yeah, that's one of the worst things I feel like for them, just being poked and prodded and
like cattle, man.
Yeah, dude, it's just I feel so bad for them as they go through the process. It's one of the most helpless feelings where you're just like you can't carry the burden at all. You can't. There's nothing you can do.
And you want to. Like, you really
want
to.
You do. You really do.
And you feel like everything you're doing is wrong, too.
Yeah. Oh, probably because it is. Your first instinct is probably wrong all the time.
I'm always blocking. Like, I'm always like, I'm in the way. I'm big. I'm sorry. I'm always moving out of the doctor's ways.
You look pretty.
Tonight.
Shut up. No, I don't.
Yeah, dude. I mean.
Okay. You don't. You motherfucker.
I mean, that's a good lesson, too, as well. Like. There are going to be times where every single thing you say is wrong, no matter what you say. Just because she is hormonal or wants to vent or just wants to yell or is frustrated with something else involved in the situation. And
if you're married to one of us, it's probably because we're an asshole. We're probably wrong.
Yep. Yes. Yep. And I feel like, you know, there's probably years of, like, blog frustration coming out in the, you know. I mean... There's no telling why or what is going through their head or their heart at that moment, so you just have to. And I'm the type who, like, when we argue about other stuff, I'm an opinionated dude. You might know this about me. Like, so we, you know, I'll stand my ground on what I think is right or wrong, or we'll argue a point, and I'll, you know, we'll go at it. But going through that pregnancy process, it was like,
you know, she could be telling me the sky is yellow, and I'd be like, yes, honey, yes, it is. 2 + 2 = 5. You are correct, because in that moment, there's no, you don't win if you get, the, you know, you know, you can't win the argument. You're coming out on the losing end no matter what, as if you do anything other than just support her and help her and make it easier for her, because that makes it easier for you, that makes it easier for the baby and everybody involved. You have to think bigger picture when you might be getting yelled at, or you might be getting irrationally, they're taking out some frustration on you. That's your burden. That's what you have to carry. You just have to be that like chopping block that just gets beat up. Yep. That's what you have to carry.
You're the punching bag. You just take it. Thank you, sir. May I have another kind of thing. And I always say, when people are getting married, like, it's her day. You're just the guy, yep, who happens to be lucky enough to be there. It's that times 9+ months, especially with hormones, physical, emotional, all the stress. Just say yes. A lot of times they'll apologize the next day. They're,
yeah,
like, listen,
absolutely.
I was pissed yesterday.
They know, yeah.
And these are a lot of idealisms, too. Like, these are not all things that we did masterfully.
No, yeah, no way.
We're like, oh, and this is what you actually need to do, sir.
Bro,
like, we wrecked it. Yeah.
Hindsight is 20/20. There were definitely times where I'm arguing
Monday morning
back
quarterback. And
yeah,
like,
absolutely. That's the whole point of this, though. It's like, yeah, if you haven't gone through this and you're maybe looking for some advice, here are three dudes who didn't do it the right way the first time, and maybe more
not
the second
time.
Yeah. And maybe not the third time, but this is what you should be doing. It's easier said than done. It's always easier to give advice than put into practice. But you should try your hardest, because it's going to go a lot easier for you.
I got one more product I just thought of now. This is what I recommend. You're going to be drinking a lot, right? You're going to be getting a lot of toast. You're going to be doing a lot of stuff with your family, your buddies. Oh, we're having a baby. Get some of the Martinelli's cider, you know, the sparkling champagne, the fake champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Get some of that for her so she feels like she's included. I can't stress that enough.
Or the research that says she's allowed to have one glass of red wine.
Yo, shout out to those doctors. Shout out to those doctors who are like, yeah, no, you can have some. I was like, this doctor says it. Like, ahead, have one. Have a glass. That, you know, that's a big personal choice. A lot of people just don't mess with it at all. And obviously that's probably the safest play, but when you find out that, like, you really can have a little bit, it goes a long way. A glass, yeah, at dinner, half the time I would pour a red glass,
like, just takes the edge off of me.
Absolutely.
I'm a bigger dude.
Right. And you know, half the time I would pour a glass and she would have two sips and wouldn't even end up finishing it. But it's the feeling of, like, I can, you know, it's like when anybody tells you you can't have something, you want it more. And when you, and it's unfortunately the time of your life where you need it the most. So, yeah. That I feel like we can do a whole episode alone on the drinking dynamic and going through the pregnancy. So we'll get into all that in a later date. But that is a Martinelli's, yo, sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, sponsor the podcast. I love that shit.
Now, one of the things I was just, you know, yes, ma'am, we'll do it your way, was the telling people you were pregnant. Mm. There's a lot of rules, a lot of do's and don'ts. The, you know,
are you a 6-weeker, 8-weeker, 10-weeker?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were 12 weeks.
Ooh.
Because we were really.
Oh, the high risk.
Maybe 10 weeks. But yeah,
every single person, like, not one person knew before 10, other than you?
We told parents
pretty much right away.
See, that's so. Because of the high risk thing, and just because this is the way my wife wanted to do it, so we were doing it that way. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I got to tell my parents. And what really threw a wrench into everything was, we found out we were pregnant. We. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. She found out she was pregnant, and like maybe a couple days later, my brother texted me and was like, Diana's pregnant. And she was like 6 weeks along.
And then there's the whole stealing the thunder.
I was like, I saw that text and I was like, I was Mr. Krabs. I was the meme. I was like, oh no.
This is my moment.
Yeah, man. I didn't care about that, but I'm just like, I know these things can get very tense with that. And then more importantly, the cat was out of the bag for them. So now my family is talking about it.
Same sexes for kids or no?
No, a boy and a girl, okay. Which made it nice. There's no competition. There's right. No worry about that. But
they also like Brendan more than you, so it makes it easy.
as they should. But so everyone's talking about having a baby, your first baby. You're pregnant. Da, 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 da. And I'm just sitting there like, mm-hmm. So, you know, 6 weeks later, whatever it was, when I finally let the cat out of the bag, my mom was like, you little shit.
Yeah.
You've been lying to me for like a month and a half. And I was like, well, I'm either going to get in trouble with you or get in trouble with her. And right now, it's the lesser of two evils.
Anymore. Yeah,
exactly. I see you a lot less often. So,
That's a big thing. So, I would have liked to tell, like, immediate. In my mind, here's the thing. Obviously, you wait because if, God forbid, you lose the baby, mm-hmm. it just is an awkward thing to have to tell everyone, nope, not anymore.
But at the same time, there is that support factor that comes with it, too.
Exactly.
Like, there's a big-time balance. Like, you don't want to, especially that for the female. Like, it's so heartbreaking.
Yep.
Like, going through that with as many people that are close to help. But that's her choice, too. Like, if mm-hmm. she's going through that, maybe she wants to go through it alone because, I mean, sadly, a lot of women will feel, like, shame about that. And
yep.
they'll take personal blame and responsibility when that just kind of what happens
right.
at some point. So it's a really tough
and, you know, like,
situation.
There's always a mother-in-law type of dynamic. They have a good relationship, but it's like, yeah. Maybe I don't want you knowing that. Maybe I want only my mom knowing it. I mean, she was tight-lipped with everybody.
Can't,
but
can't wait till we get to who's in the room. The who's in the room combo.
Gosh. God, that the who's in the room is like a metaphor too. It's like yeah. who's in the room yeah. here. Like, what is going on? But I just waited it out. But yeah, in my mind, it's like if God forbid something were to happen, I would want my immediate like support structure to be there. And then even if people who I didn't really know well knew, I don't fucking care about them. Yeah. But that's the way I think, and that's not the way she thinks, so right. it was her decision. So
and I feel like that is her decision.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think if I broke. Oh, I think I told some of my, I have some childhood friends who I knew from, like, first grade who live in Pennsylvania and Connecticut now, and, like, there's no crossover, overlap, no worry about them telling anybody else, and I just needed to get the secret off my chest. So I told those guys. But other than that, I didn't tell anybody else who was in our regular lives where it was, like, going to be an issue. Because that's the other thing. You just can't trust people. They don't keep secrets.
Nope.
They will tell their wife. They will tell their girlfriend. They 100% will. And in the social media age, somebody comments on an Instagram, congratulations, and poof, you're done. So, but you were able to tell your family initially, and then friends and extended family after that were at the 10-week mark or whatever.
Yeah, as soon as we told, like, the 5 or 6 people closest to us, then she just put it up on Facebook and was done with it. And I was thankful for that as soon as that was over. Because you want to tell people, especially when it's a planned pregnancy. Like, first time, completely different. Second time kid, I was elated, man. Like,
Yeah.
Like, we were so happy that it was happening. And so I wanted... And I'm not good at keeping secrets or being patient about anything. Like, if I buy you a birthday present,
open it.
I don't give a shit if it's your birthday or not.
Yeah, yeah.
If Amazon delivered it that day, your ass is opening it because I'm excited, man.
Right.
And so
I
when
hear
it's
you.
A kid, I'm like, I want to yell it from the rooftops. You know, like, let's
this is gonna
it.
Go on my Insta. This is gonna go on my Snap. This is gonna go on my Twitter.
I wish it happened now. I'd be like, hey guys, what's up, Stoolies?
Yeah,
like,
man. I mean, I don't even know.
I take that back. I don't want it to happen now. I don't want it to happen now at all.
Yo, it's
and it's not
it's
going
trip.
To because
we'll probably end up going down this road.
My vast deference is annihilated. Yeah. So.
Man, the people that hate Barstool are going to have a hard time with Chaps. This guy's a goddamn sweetheart. He wants to scream it from the roof, and they're going to be like, they're going to have to put the pitchforks away finally.
I don't remember. I guess I remember tweeting something to the – I don't remember what I tweeted. Do you remember by any chance? I mean, I definitely had to tell people at some point, like, the Stoolies.
I didn't know you at the time whenever – but I remembered, this asshole's having a kid.
Yeah.
And it's a girl?
Guess what? I thought that too. This asshole's having a kid?
I know what you tweeted. Didn't you tweet, I'm going to be an older brother for Duncan?
For Duncan,
and
yes.
Everyone thought you were getting another dog?
Yes, that's what it was. There was a lot of confusion. I was trying to be cute with it.
Yeah, that's what, for the second one, it was the cutest moment where my daughter, because we did the same thing, like your brothers and sisters are your dogs.
Yeah.
So she opens this shirt, and she was, I think she was 6 at the time, and she opens up this package, and it says, I'm the big sister. And she, like, looks at our dogs, and she's like, oh, this, look, Elfie, like, showing our dog. And my wife's like, no, I'm pregnant. And she's like, what? Like, just completely loses her shit. She's like, oh, my God. She's like, your belly isn't even big. And she was only, like, 8 weeks pregnant at the time.
Right. It's like, it's going to change.
When we found out, our thinking was, which, again, I think every woman's different and then every couple's different. Our thinking was we were going to tell our parents because the way we thought is if anything, God forbid, were to happen, we're not going to be happy and chipper. And we're not going to be like, oh, we're just upset about, you know, nothing about our job.
Right.
Like, she's going to have to tell someone. So we said we're going to tell them but we're not going to tell anyone else till, I don't know if it was 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever. So that's the way we handled it. But again, whatever she wants to do, fellas, you just say yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of things in, like, marriage-wise that I think that the wife or the husband makes a sole decision on anything, really.
No.
But that's one. I feel like because it's her body and it's going to be her that primarily experiences the quote-unquote shame factor.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously all rooted, the reasoning behind it is all in a very serious situation, so you can't be cavalier with it. It's not just like, I want to tell my buddies. It's like the reasoning behind it would be obviously devastating if that ever happens, so you got to take it very, very seriously. So another portion of the show that we want to keep rolling along is something I like to call Dad Hacks. Your things that, you know, probably by the book, maybe you would do a little bit differently. But as dads, I feel like as dads, your job is sometimes to be a little bit of the voice of reason, being like, we don't really have to do that. Or why don't we just do it like this way? Or why don't we just do whatever is easiest in the moment? Obviously, you don't want to jeopardize anything, but I feel like that's kind of a dad role in some instances, to be like, relax.
It's something when your wife comes home, she sees your kid, like, has, like, duct tape or something on her diaper. You're like, listen, I know it doesn't look good, but it's working.
Exactly. Yes. So there's going to be a million dad hacks along the way. This is a little early for the dad hack portion, but do you have any dad hacks as far as that initial period where you're finding out and a way that maybe, you know, to handle it differently?
Yeah, you know those little grip strength things that have like the spring in it.
Yeah.
As soon as you find out that your wife is pregnant, start using that so you're prepared for the feet massages later on.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good dad hack. That's the only way you're going to make it through it.
Yeah,
dude.
So when you're driving, just be squeezing it so you're ready for the long foot massages at the end.
That's good.
Dad hack early on?
I just say whenever the wife comes in the room and you think, just have the smile ready in case you are getting videotaped. Always just smile and just be a very pleasant person. You gotta, especially if you're trying for it, just be ready for when that news may come down. Just to always, what I always do is whenever something weird happens around me, I say, am I on candid camera? Mm-hmm. So then I ruin their experience. So like, other than that, you can either do that or you can smile. Those are my two things I recommend for you.
I think early on, I do think a good hack is what we talked about earlier with some wine or a wine spritzer or something along those lines. Like, even if you don't end up drinking it, I feel like her knowing that, you know, I'm going to pour you a glass and we're going to like share a cocktail. We're going to do a happy hour drink, or you're going to have a glass of wine with dinner. I think like a little encouragement there, because I do think that's a situation where girls feel like I shouldn't do this or like I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But when you hear some research and whatnot that...
And that research changes all the time.
I know,
too.
It's so it's like, it's right now it's okay, tomorrow it could be terrible. Yeah. But I feel like sometimes they want just someone else to be like, yeah, it's okay. And you just kind of give
don't
them
want that,
that...
Go get a nice slice of cheesecake.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing too, is find, I mean, here's my real dad hack. Forget about the alcohol. I don't want to go down that road because, you know, we probably shouldn't be encouraging that. But my wife she's not a sweet tooth, but when she got pregnant, she was. And there's Carlo's Bakery in Hoboken, which is where it was on the reality show, Cake Boss. It's a really good bakery. And she all of a sudden had this sweet tooth. And I just had chocolate chip cookies on deck 24/7. And they're big cookies, and it's an expensive bakery, and I was just like, whatever. I would roll in there and be like, that whole tray, the whole thing. And they'd be like, sir, there's like 18 there. And I was like, oh, there's only 18? Go make two more. I want 20.
Yeah.
Like, so whether it's a drink or a snack or a new craving, have that on deck at all times.
When your wife, this one happened to me, when your wife asks you to go to the gas station to get a candy bar, you better bring back the fucking king size. She put me on blast on Facebook so quick for that. She's like, I sent him to go get a Snickers bar or whatever it was, and he came back with the regular size, and all the other moms were like, that motherfucker. And I'm just like, what? Like, I'm trying.
I thought I did it right.
Yeah, she's like, if you want a Kit Kat, you want the 16 bars Kit Kats. Don't bring me 8. What are you doing?
Good for
go
her.
Back.
That's my kind of girl.
Well,
I like
go back,
that.
I bring that. I bring back all kinds of stuff. I'm talking, I bring like Butterfinger ice cream bars. Like, I'm bringing everything that I could think back. I'm
right.
Like, you want snacks? Here it is, snacks.
Yeah. It's, that's another thing, too. It's like, if they say they want XYZ, come back with XYZ, the king size, and ABC, and 1, 2, 3, and everything that even might remotely be something they want to have in that moment. Because it, by the time you can drive there and drive back, it's changed. Yeah. The cravings changed, the brain has changed, the mind has changed, the heart's changed.
We've talked about this on KFC Radio too. I think when we were starting to talk about the Podfathers podcast, they're always testing you. So when she's sending you to that gas station, she says, "I know they got king size there." You know what I mean? So
right.
she knows what's going on.
They're just always two steps ahead. So as a new expectant father, you got to be three steps ahead. So,
and I do that now. My wife's not even in remote danger of getting pregnant. I'm getting the king size.
yeah, that wasn't really a pregnancy thing. Your girl just wants big candy bars, bro.
Yeah. Err on the side of caution. Get the
always.
Big one.
And we're going to wrap up today with a segment that we're going to do each and every day called Bedtime Stories. Because this show is going to be a lot of truth and a lot of realness that sometimes probably will sound a little negative. It'll probably come off as, you know, this is really tough or really hard. And sometimes I feel like we'll be reminiscing about life before babies and things that maybe were quote unquote better, because that's what we want to paint the full picture. But we don't want to come off as sounding negative or painting this as a bad process to go through, because it really is the best. So bedtime stories, every at the end of every episode, we're going to tell you a moment that we had that kind of makes it all worth it. Now, I think going forward, the bedtime story is going to be free reign. Bring up any sort of topic you want. But I think for the first one, since we all went through it, what was your moment when you found out you were having a girl?
Well, mine was, again, I was relieved, because I was active duty Marine. Like, at that time, I was, like, really, really aggressive and really prone to yell at people like senior Marines would.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thankful that I wouldn't have a boy, because I knew that
you'd be kind of tough on him.
I would be a really, really rough dad. But I had already had a girl, and I knew I was, like, kind of tenderhearted to the girl, and mm-hmm. I could be sweet. And, like, there's nothing better for a dad than whenever you're holding your daughter and, like, the first time you get to kiss him on the head. And I was like, I get to do this again. Like, mm-hmm. this is going to be—
Right. And there's something about, like, you're never— you can kiss her on the head forever. You're not, you know, you're
yeah.
not going to kiss your son on the head forever.
Yeah, like
you
the 15-year-old boy comes home and you can't do it.
Right. You're
like,
going to get that 15,
my
25,
older daughter
35.
Comes home, still, when she comes home, I still give her a hug, kiss
right.
her on the head.
And she'll go through her phase in a few years where she's like, ew, get off me, but you're going to yeah. do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then she'll come boomeranging back when she's, you know, mid-20s, and you're yep. going to get to do that forever.
When we're at, like, the pool now, I'm like, when you come home from college, like, me and you, drinking beers. Smoking weed, whatever we got to do. She's like, Dad, come on.
It's like, you say that now, but you're gonna be like, okay, yeah, like light
you
that
promised.
Up, that,
yeah.
And you're gonna there, and you're gonna be like, wait a minute, I never said that. No, what are you talking about? This was a bad idea. Clem, you got a bedtime story for us on finding out baby girl?
Yeah, so we did a gender reveal.
Oh,
so
cool.
So we didn't know beforehand. We went to the doctor after, I don't have, is it 3 months that you find it? You can
yeah,
find out?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
So they gave us an envelope with the word, you know, girl on it, obviously. We didn't know at the time. So our thought was we invited
by the way, incredible willpower not to open that envelope.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, this is another, we'll do a quick sidebar on this. Like, more power to you. I could never in a fucking million years not find out. And luckily, my wife was on the same page. We found out, like, early. We got, again, because the high-risk stuff, we got some tests done. And they were like, for, you know, an extra, whatever, like $100, we can do this. And I was like, for an extra, like, $100,000, I would have been like, yes, I need to know. Yeah. But, okay, so you got the envelope.
So we get the envelope, and I think it was actually on a Friday, and then the gender reveal was going to be on Saturday, the next day. So it was like but it's still, like, we're both looking at it together.
Yeah, man, that's like the envelope in The Departed. The Citizens Trust is just like, oh, man.
So we, I bring it. So the whole plan was I was going to bring it to the, we had like a dollar store that they had like a bunch of balloons and stuff like that. Give the guy the envelope, but then I can't find out. So I'm
right.
getting the balloon. So basically what he has to do is he had to I don't remember how he did it. It was like just one balloon, but he had it like wrapped up so I couldn't see what color it was.
Oh,
you know,
man.
What I mean?
Another thing to tempt you. I'd be like ripping that off. What color is this goddamn balloon?
And that's my whole thing was, I'm like, if I find this out, I can't tell her for the next X amount of months until the baby's born, because she's going to be
right.
pissed at me.
Oh, no,
right.
You got to go to the grave with that.
Yeah,
one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you might be lying right now as yeah. far as I know.
So, but the other thing is, if I find out, I also can't, like, show my cards or spill the beans in the hours before the party, you know, because
right.
then I'm ruining for her, and then I've just ruined my life forever. So I go to the thing. The guy gives me the balloon. I pay, and I get the envelope. He gives me the envelope back, and I notice it's still sealed. And I go, did you open this
it?
And seal it? He goes, no. I go, and my wife went, listen, this is like, I'm sure we all have probably some pretty similar wives in terms of they're very thorough on stuff. She went the day before, talked this over with, you know,
the granted, manager
like
or whatever.
The 17-year-olds working at the dollar store.
I was going to say, that's a big responsibility for some dude who works the cashier at Rite Aid
yeah.
or whatever, you know?
I don't think either of them spoke English very well,
oh,
too.
No.
So it was like, we were really setting ourselves up for failure with the beginning. With
right, you
one.
Walk in and they're like, congratulations on your girl.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, dude.
Yeah, and that's, I'm like, scared he's going to tell me that. I'm scared he's going to take the balloon out before I, because like, I literally left the store, got like breakfast. Fist some coffee and just like did my own thing, so I couldn't see him in for like a half hour. So I go back, I'm like, hey, did you open this? So I have to re-explain this whole process for the third time.
So what, did he just grab a random balloon then?
He just I think he just grabbed I think he actually grabbed a blue balloon too, and
oh,
he was
wow.
just like, whatever.
There you go.
I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
Dude, that would have been something.
Yeah, it would have been.
That's a big, it's a big responsibility for a random stranger, though, you know? It's
exactly.
Like,
I like, you don't want to screw it up for me, for her, for, you know, whatever. So then we go back to the house, the balloon's in, I don't remember where, if it was in like, I think we popped a balloon and the other balloon came out. I don't remember how, if there was a box.
Right, right, right.
We do it.
What's in the box?
Yeah, what's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
And we have probably, it's probably, you know, 20 family members and friends around. And I'm, you know, like, I think most guys, I'll keep it real, like, we're going to. Like, you're hoping for the boy because you always want to have one son you can pass the stuff. I want one-on-one. That's always yeah. been what I wanted. And I just wanted the boy out of the way so I could say, all right, I could, my family name will continue, all those other little stupid things. But at the same point, at that, I think most of us, by this point, 3 months in, you just want it to be healthy.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just like, if it's a girl, I'll be very happy too. Boys, I heard, can drive you insane. I think I'd already be dead by now.
It's funny how much you, like, you flip the script. Like, oh, I want a boy because they're easier when they're teenagers. And then you find out you're having a girl. I'm like, well, boys are a pain in the ass when they're toddlers.
Yeah.
So this is all good,
yeah.
you know?
I think I said to you after you had yours, I was like, don't worry, man. I was like, until like the age of 13, we're gravy. But then
right.
it's the thing you're worrying about them the rest of the time and the guys that they're with.
Yeah, I'm a ticking time bomb over here right now.
Yeah. You really are, dude. You really are.
So we open the box or whatever, and the pink balloon comes out, and you just are like, you're just sitting there, and you're happy, but you're just like, all right, this is the path we're going. And literally, my father-in-law, who is, he's a saint. The guy is just a great guy. He reminds me a little bit of Chaps, actually. Just
Pappy?
Like, he's a pappy. He's actually Poppy. He's a Poppy.
Oh,
so,
nice. That's a good one, too.
And he comes up to me, and he goes, start saving for the wedding now. And it was such a dad. And I'm like, you? At 2 through 10? Like, he just stabbed me right in the heart with that one. I was like, oh, I didn't even think of that side of things. And then we know what we had to do. We had to go check the envelope, because we knew the idiot the
right.
first time. So
like,
we're
let's make sure.
It's a girl. We said, all right, they didn't screw it up. So it was a trip of a whole process.
I probably did the complete polar opposite of that. I, first of all, my wife the whole time was like, it's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy. I can tell it's a boy. These old wives' tales that happened, you know, this day, this time of the month, this part of the day, blah, 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 blah. And the whole time I'm sitting there like, you know that it's not a boy because you're so adamant that it is a boy. And
yeah.
like, you're so convinced. We're already calling him he and him. And I'm going along with it because that's what you do. You just go along with it. We're already calling him by the names that we had picked out.
Are you doing the thing like I did where a lot of my friends had girls? So I'm like, odds are we're having a boy. Did you have friends that had kids at this point?
It's a good question. I feel like only a couple, but mm-hmm. I do remember thinking that a lot of girls, they were all girls, like the few that were.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was a little bit like, well, you know, it's got to be 50-50. We got to start evening out somewhere in this
right.
crew, which obviously doesn't make any sense. But so it's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy. And I'm just sitting there like, no, it's not, no, it's not. And what my brother's wife was saying, it's a girl, it's a girl, it's a girl. And both get it wrong. And my wife G-chats me. That's how I found out she was, because again, we did these early tests, but I wouldn't have it any other way, because like I said, I want to know as fast as humanly possible. So she was like, we did this blood test, and she was like, I think I'm going to get my results today. So we're chatting, and she's like, oh, the doctor's calling. So now I know that she's going to know, and I'm like, I don't need you to wait to get home. I don't need to know in person. She didn't even ask me. All of a sudden, I hear, boop, I get the flashing box, and it's just capital letters, female, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And I was just like, I told you so. Like, I was so prepared for it and so ready for it. I was just like, get out of here. It was almost like I won the argument. I was like, I was right. I was right.
Yeah, that's on me.
Right, right. So that was when I found out it was a baby girl, which I've, you know, jokingly been bracing for on the blog for 5 years. Yeah. So I was like, I'm good to go. I think there's some dads who are like, maybe secretly a little disappointed, not truly, but, you know, a little bit of like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. I mean, I was like, I am having a girl. I'm probably going to have another girl. I'm probably going to have another girl. It's just going to keep coming. So I was ready for it all.
It's kind of fitting, too, because I think your love of G-Chat is high.
Yeah, it
on
is.
List,
it, so. It's like, it was, most people would probably think of that as like disconnected and like, I don't know. Not. I was like, this is so great. Like, G-Chat saved my life.
He
for
was
a
here.
Period
a friend
of time.
Was here and gave me the news.
Exactly. Yeah. The G-Chat registry. Thanks, Google. All right. So that's it for bedtime. That's it for the first edition, the first episode of the Podfathers. Coming up next week, we'll be talking about actually going through the pregnancy process, which is, at the time, you think the hardest thing that you've ever done, until eventually the kid comes out, and then that's the hardest thing you've ever done. But in that 9-10 month period, it is, you need all the help you can get, and if you've gone through it, you need all of the venting and joking about it you can get. So tune in next week for episode 2 of The Podfathers.